Robert, it's good to be together again. Welcome to the visitors. And hopefully we can have a wonderful time together. I was thinking about pretty much reading here in the Bible this morning from the Old Testament. I was thinking about the concepts that are in the Old Testament about the approval of God's people is shown from God to those people by a lot of times blessings of finances and answered prayer. And so I don't know how far that concept carries to the New Testament at times, but we don't really believe in a health and wealth gospel. And yet, at the same time, I do believe that the Bible in the New Testament says something about giving us life and giving it more abundantly. Well, that's not just to me in finances, that's giving me abundance in being able to feel His presence and abundance in having people like you around me and being able to make through hard times and good times in life. The abundance of the life of Christ is sometimes to me not really explained. I don't know how far He owns everything and has everything and so forth, but just kind of interesting when you talk about the people following God in the Old Testament and talks about the obedience that I want to read about here. Definitely the people, God's people today are promised an abundant life, and I do believe that maybe not in the same way as the Old Testament blessings, but we are blessed. Well, I want to say a little something about revivals coming up. That's kind of what the sermon is about. So, first of all, I'd like to tell you, if you can read my handwriting, the board doesn't have lines on, so I'm sorry about the ups and downs, but most of us here, how many know Dan Lee? I'm the speaker, right? So I'm like the guest person, and so I'm not It's just, that's why they asked me to come. And so then you have Joyce come along, and I would say that, I don't remember quite how it was. I didn't go where else when we had smaller children, but I would say we need to be reminded that there's one thing about hostessing and entertaining. It's two different subjects. Hostessing is the vision of the goal is to take care of the person you have in your home or in your congregation. Entertaining is about you and making the best home and so forth. And we have been at homes where you know they got their flowers lined up along the walk, and it's just area is just perfect. And that's a lot. You can do that and host it. Be hospitable at the same time. A lot of times it gets divided. But you're just an entertainer, and the cookie's out in the kitchen, you don't see her. And then all of a sudden the meal's done, and then she comes in and she sits down. That's an entertainer. And when you're a host or a hostess, then you make food and you have it simple enough that they're happy to sit down with you as the cook. And I know not everybody's gifted the same, but it is something to practice, and I would like for you to not be a fake, that's not what I'm asking. But there's something to learn about hostessing that, and I'm not just at home, I mean here in our audience. And so, Bob's and Glenn's and Jerry here as visitors, be nice to see what you have to say if I give you a piece of paper and write down how your experience was so far. I'm not going to do that, but you're all three are more known to this group. And then will be when they come. And so it's kind of easy to just kind of mix in here and it's easily offended at taking what we took care of. But it is our responsibility to make them feel welcome and take care of the needs as they come up. Just kind of a, this is here for that. You don't have an excuse to what age children they are, whether they're boys or girls, so you invite them to your home or whatever you're going to do. You can even write that down and know their names if you will. I don't know that I ever experienced that. My children, when they were this age, I was never away for a week. And we had that age children. But nevertheless, just a reminder. Turn with me to 2 Chronicles chapter 6. I guess one more thing. I got to add this yet. When you think of you sitting in the pews or welcoming this couple, I think it's good to evaluate. Sometimes Joyce tells me, you look really serious. And people are taking you really serious. And a positive predictor, I don't know what you call that. A reminder on what the other person might perceive me as not just as an audience, but as a personal friend, or as a brother and sister in the Lord. And so sometimes we do have heavy weights of the day, and children go off on the way to the church and so forth, and I know how that is too. And it's not always easy, but if each of us does a little part, we'll have a good week. The sermon would be about revivals, and I'd like to read some chapters here of 2 Chronicles. When I think the children of Israel were at a time when there was revival and points and efforts made to draw closer to God and to do the things that God wanted to. Under Solomon, he builds this temple here in chapter 6 of 2 Chronicles. And he's now dedicating this, and then 7 starts this prayer. And it's just a reminder here this morning that when when our hearts are right and we make an effort towards being having interest, internally having interest in revival, I think revival will happen. Will it happen in the whole city of Bradford? Because we had revival here in our hearts. That's up to God. But when these people here actually look to the importance of God's own house, his own house, and his presence is there, and their obedience to all that form, and that, you know, it's not in his little testament. And when they looked at that seriously in their lives and were obedient and followed the things of God, I think that it's obvious that there was revival and blessing and protection from God and his people. And so when we look at this, I hope we can kind of get a little glimpse of what we could do if we would allow God to work in our hearts in a revival week. So then said Solomon in verse 1, the Lord hath said that he would dwell in the thick darkness, but I have built a house of habitation for thee and a place for thy dwelling forever. And the king turned, this is Solomon, turned his face and blessed the whole congregation of Israel. And all the congregation of Israel stood. And he said, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, who hath with his hands fulfilled that which he spake with his mouth to my father David, saying, since the day that I brought forth my people out of the land of Egypt, I chose no city among all the tribes of Israel to build an house in, that my name might be there. Neither chose I any man to be a ruler over my people Israel. But now I have chosen Jerusalem, that my name might be there. And I have chosen David to be over my people Israel. Now it is in my heart, now it was in the heart of David, my father, to build a house for the name of the Lord God of Israel. But the Lord said to David, my father, for as much as it was in thy heart to build a house for my name, thou didst well in that it was in thy heart. Notwithstanding, thou shalt not build the house. But thy son, which shall come forth out of thy loins, he shall build the house for my name. The Lord therefore hath performed his word that he hath spoken. For I am risen up in the room of David my father, and sat on the throne of Israel, as the Lord promised, and have built the house for the name of the Lord God of Israel. And in it have I put the ark, wherein is the covenant of the Lord, that he had made with the children of Israel. And he stood before the altar of the Lord in the presence of all the congregation of Israel, and spread forth his hands, and Solomon had made him brazen scaffold, 5 cubits long and 5 cubits broad and 3 cubits high, and had set it in the midst of the court, and upon it he stood, and kneeled down upon his knees before all the congregation of Israel, and spread forth his hands towards heaven, and this is what he said. This was his prayer. O Lord God of Israel, there is no God like thee in the heaven nor in the earth, which keepest covenant and showeth mercy unto thy servants that walk before thee with all their hearts. And so that's the encouragement that we can take as we look to giving our hearts to God this week in a special way. I'm not saying we don't give our hearts to God in an ordinary way every day, but maybe in a special way. Solomon is kneeling down on this little platform that he made, and he's saying, O Lord, the God of Israel, there is no God like thee in heaven, verse 14, nor in the earth, which keepest covenant and showeth mercy unto thy servants. Remember, it's not just the Solomon and his kingdom, his rulership or his people around him, as far as that social level or the king. It's not just that, but it's unto thy servants. The promises are unto the servants. Just like you and I are servants, Philippians starts out, Paul, Timothy, the servants of Jesus Christ. And so we're servants today. And this mercy and the promises of God is for his servants that walk before thee with all their hearts. Thou hast kept with thy servant David my father that which thou hast promised him, and spakest with thy mouth, and hast fulfilled it with thine hand, as it is this day. Now therefore, O Lord God of Israel, keep with thy servant David my father that which thou hast promised him, saying, there shall not fail thee a man in my sight to sit upon the throne of Israel, yet so that thy children take heed to their way to walk in my law, as thou hast walked before me. Now then, O Lord God of Israel, let thy word be verified, which thou hast spoken unto thy servant David. But will God in the very deed dwell with men on the earth? Behold, heaven and the heaven of heavens cannot contain thee, how much less this house which I have built. Have respect, therefore, to the prayer of thy servant and to his supplication. O Lord my God, who hearken unto the cry of the prayer which thy servant prayeth before thee, that thine eyes may be open upon this house, and this house day and night, upon the place whereof thou hast said that thou wouldest put thy name there, to hearken unto the prayer which thy servant prayeth before this place. Hearken therefore unto the supplication of thy servant and of thy people Israel, which they shall make toward this place. Hear thou from thy dwelling place, even from heaven, and when thou hearest, forgive. If a man sin against his neighbor, and an oath be laid upon him to make him swear, and the oath come before thine altar and thine house, then hear thou from heaven, and do, and judge thy servant by requiting the wicked, by recompensing his way upon his own head, and by justifying the righteous, and by giving according to his righteousness. And if thy people Israel be put to the worse before the enemy, because they have sinned against thee, and shall return and confess thy name and pray, and make supplication before thee in this house, then hear thou from heaven, and forgive the sins of thy people Israel, and bring them again into the land which thou gavest to them and to their fathers. When the heaven is shut up and there is no rain, because they have sinned against thee, yet if I pray toward this place and confess thy name and turn from their sin, when thou doest afflict them, then hear thou from heaven and forgive the sin of thy servants and of thy people Israel, when thou hast taught them the good way wherein they should walk, and send rain upon the land which thou hast given unto thy people for inheritance. Now let's go to, that prayer goes right on through the whole chapter, and it's very interesting to note the honesty and the pleading of this psalm. Remember, he's kneeling down, and his hands are like a blessing. He's begging God to answer the prayers of his own prayer, and also admitting that when people go wrong, that God will be just, and he's praying for that, and we know that God will do that. And then we go to verse 1 of chapter 7 here, and I think you'll know where I'm going with this in a minute here, but I'll read the first 14 verses here in this chapter and then make some comments. Now when Solomon had made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering, the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord stood out. And the priests could not enter into the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. And when all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down, the glory of the Lord upon the house, they bowed themselves with their faces to the ground upon the pavement and worshiped and praised the Lord, saying, for he is good and his mercy endureth forever. So we get the picture. This is now the crowd. This is now the people of Israel seeing the glory of the Lord, and it brings them to their knees. Verse 4, then the king and all the people offered sacrifices before the Lord, and King Solomon offered a sacrifice of 22,000 oxen, 120,000 sheep. And so the king and all the people dedicated the house of God, and the priests waited on their offices, and the Levites also with instruments and music of the Lord, which David the king had made. to praise the Lord because his mercy endured forever. When David praised by the ministry, and the priests sounded trumpets before them, and all Israel stood. Moreover, Solomon hallowed the middle of the court that was before the house of the Lord. For there he offered burnt offerings and the fat of peace offerings, because the brazen altar which Solomon had made was not able to receive the burnt offerings and the meat offerings in the fat. And so again, a little picture there. Remember how holy and how special this place was, where the altar is to burn the offerings, burn offerings. And that to us is kind of foreign, but at the same time, we know all through the Old Testament how that space was very special, dedicated, had to be followed the stipulations that they had were told. And then Solomon goes and he dedicates or hallows. Verse 7, Solomon hallows the middle of the court. In other words, a special area, because the offering was that great that the little space where they normally did it was not big enough. They couldn't contain all the offerings. And just another picture of the children of Israel dedicating themselves in a special way unto the worship of this God that we're talking about. In verse 8, also at the time Solomon kept the feast 7 days, and all Israel was with him, a very great congregation from the entering in of Hamath unto the river of Egypt, and the eighth day they made a solemn assembly, for they kept the dedication of the altar 7 days, and the feast 7 days. And on the 23rd and 20th day of the 7th month, he sent his people away into their tents, glad and merry in heart for the goodness that the Lord had shown unto David and to Solomon and to Israel his people. Thus Solomon finished the house of the Lord and the king's house and all that came into Solomon's heart to make in the house of the Lord and his own house. He prosperously defected. And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, so now we switch here, the Lord is speaking. And the Lord appeared unto Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer. I have chosen this place to myself for an house of sacrifice. If I shut up heaven that there be no more rain, or if I command locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence upon my people. And verse 14 is the verse I'm looking for. If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek his face, and turn from their wicked ways, and I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. I think in that verse, a very popular verse in Christianity today, the promises that are here are very easy to understand and grasp and desirable. Everybody is seeking after this. He promises that he will forgive their sin and heal their land, is how the verse ends. And I would just like to suggest, as we go to Wednesday night and we come to our meetings here this week, that our prayer would be that we would humble ourselves and pray and seek God's face. That's kind of what Paul was, there's a comment in there, but first of all, it's God's people, so we're a part of God's people. If you're a part of God's people here Wednesday night when you come here, I think this promise is for us. But the reminder that I'd like to leave with you this morning in these couple minutes is the fact that the conditions for the answer to this prayer that is so popular in America, the answer is that the people will humble themselves, pray, and seek his face. But there's one more thing, and that's often not emphasized. And so my challenge as I look at my life for revivals, I do believe that I want to humble myself. I want some more from God, anytime, always. I want to be open to that, and I'm hungry for it. And it's easy to say that. My people, if they would just humble themselves before God, And if you and I would just humble ourselves and pray the prayers from our hearts this week for Dan as he preaches, or for all myself as I listen, that God would have his way in my heart. And be open to have that change in my heart. When God says something, then we would follow through and do it. And that we would seek that face of God in an urgency this week. But you won't often see the emphasis on the idea of turning from our wicked ways. The other way of saying that is simply repenting. And that part of our prayer. I believe that revival starts, if we talk about revival, whether we talk about it in a congregation or a community or country or whatever, it starts right within our heart. It starts right within an individual heart. I don't see really revival as something that we can bring on. We can bring it on ourselves. I don't see it as the need to have Dan, for example, getting up there and preaching on Wednesday night, and the rest of the ministry sit up here and we start clapping and beating on drums or something like that, whatever might come to our mind, to get God's interest in what's going on here. I think the interest is in your interest to have revival in your heart and mind. And to pray and to seek his face, humble ourselves and pray and seek his face, and also be ready to repent. Also be ready to turn from our wicked ways. Then the promise is there. And it might be an Old Testament promise, but I do believe that the promise is there, that he will come to hear from heaven. He will be there. I think Solomon prayed that God will hear when people repent. And we know that God did. So many times he took Israel and took them back. If we would hear, and he will forgive our sins. I can do a whole sermon on that in the New Testament. God is very willing to forgive our sins and heal our land. If you talk about land or congregation or individual life, I believe it's there. Will you and I seek his face this week, or pray and seek his face, and be willing to turn from our wicked ways, is the question. Let's not wait on something special to happen during the week. If we're not interested in making it happen in our lives, let's go forward and pray for Dan, pray for his family. He's never done this before, by the way. And this is 6 sermons. I had 8 sermons in the last week. I thought that was pretty many. I'm 60 years old, and he is 37. He has 2 years of experience. And so he does need your prayer. He does need your prayer. But pray also for our own revival in our own hearts. That's possible. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the scripture in the Old Testament, that we see the lessons that when your people have really prayed and humbled themselves and turned from their ways, that you took care of them. Just ask that you would be with us this week as we take the revivals here and help us to make Dan and Amy feel welcome, and also that you would work in our hearts as we go through the week. Just bless us now in Jesus' name.